Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it gonna be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Calkins is columnist of the Daily Memphian, also host of the Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11, right here, 92.9 FM ESPN, every single weekday on X, conveniently, Jeff_Calkins. Jeff, how's it going?
Good. I'm sitting here marveling at Drew Pomerantz. Pride of Collierville High. I think he's 35 years old. Before this year, he had not pitched since 2021 in a major league game, scoreless inning today for the Cubs.
How about it?
Another great
Memphis story. I wish he wasn't doing it for the Cubs as a Cardinals fan, but you know what? Good for him.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. Good stuff.
Anyway, wild card round, though, some good matchups out there. Red Sox-Yankees leads the way. But I mean, even down to Reds Dodgers, I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was listening to Bob Costas was on with on Sportsmanlike, the show that precedes mine today, and he was making the point that in baseball, if you win your division, you should not have to play a wild card round. And I sort of agree with that. Now, in the NFL, obviously, only one team gets the bye, right? So you can win. The Bills last year, my beloved Bills. Won their division, and who got the bye? Only the Chiefs? Only the Chiefs got the bye? Did the Chiefs win? So only the Chiefs get the bye. In baseball, over 162 games, if you win your division, should you really be in a 2 out of 3?
Like with a team that's 83-79 or something like that? Yeah.
Yeah, I
hear
you. I do think, and so what he suggested is that you have a more of an NBA system where, like, the worst wild card team plays the better wild card team. The two worst wild card teams play each other. Well, and one of them, a play-in. And one of them wins, and that team then has to play the other wild card team. So you still have 3 wild cards, and then that team advances to play. And the meanwhile, you get byes for the teams that.
Now, this may create a debate. I don't know. Did he talk about one-offs or a series? Because a series would take too long.
Those were one-off.
Okay.
Basically, if you're a wild card team, the great thing about the wild card is it has created interest not just for the teams that make it, but for even the teams that are close. Like, and we saw that this year. Like, it absolutely expands interest across the league. In you come down to the final months, and are you going to make it or not? But I do think a one-off feels sort of cheap for baseball, but if you're a wild card team, you don't deserve it anymore. That's what you get. I think a one-off is fine if you're a wild card team. And so I think the greater injustice is to have a division winner not really get any reward. Now, of course, in a one-off, you know, you can be facing Scooble, who averaged 99.1 today.
Like 90 mile per hour changeup is just hilarious.
It's just crazy. So anyway, yeah, it's good stuff, though.
Yep. All
good
right. Stuff. Now, Grizzlies Media Day 2025. Yep. We kicked off the Grizzlies season. They're in camp now in Nashville at Belmont, and I did like to see John Morant. And I heard him while I was conducting all of my interviews saying, why do we have to go to Belmont? So he wore his Murray State stuff. But I think a couple of things that stood out to me. One would be Ja was asked yesterday what his individual goal is for the season, or if he has any. He said to play 82. And I was like, that is understanding, you know, at its highest form. He gets what he needs to do to see this team be successful and for himself to be successful. Also, and this was just me talking to Tomas Isolo yesterday, and I ended up playing it on the show, but big football fan. That was fun. He schooled me on Hal Mumme's coaching tree and talked about the air raid concepts he uses within his offensive system. But what stuck out to you yesterday about Media Day? I know it's Media Day, so a lot of fluff there. But
so, by the way, the Isolo, because he touched on it with us in the main media session, and he said he started to watch Sunday Night Football or whatever. But he didn't sound like he was deeply immersed. Is this a recent? Did he know about the Hal Mumme tree because of recent studies that he's been doing?
No, I didn't really get into that. But he was talking to me about Mike Leach, and he was talking to me about the Hal Mumme tree when I was
interesting
coaching tree when I interviewed him.
So what struck me? I mean, lots of things. The truth of the matter is, the most, at least in the part of what our impressions were, are framed by where we heard them. Right, like, because they all talked in 17 different places, and so whatever you got was, you know, and for me it was in the main media session, and the most interesting people were the new people. You know, Jock Landau was unbelievably fun and interesting, right? Ty Jerome was incredibly thoughtful and interesting. Cedric Coward was a total breath of fresh air. What a joy! Like, it's KCP was thoughtful, determined, you know, I like the new guys, partly because we hadn't heard them before, right? Partly because they had things to say about what they expect and what their experiences have been and why they chose Memphis or whatever. Like, so it sort of intrinsically is going to be more interesting. Those to me were the most interesting people, and I can get into them individually. Ja was totally not at all rude or anything, but he was just totally matter of fact and gave short answers because he knows, like everybody knows, that literally what Ja says on Media Day, unless he comes across as mopey or something other than engaged, just doesn't matter. Like, all the only thing that matters is, you know, are you still going to be there 15 games in? You know, if there was anything I took from the words that he said beyond the, I want to play 82, which is, you're right, it's an understanding of this reality. Like, all anyone cares about is, are you going to be healthy? I did think that talking about his China experience, and to us, he talked about how gratified he is that WNBA stars are also wearing his shoes. The change I think that has happened with Ja is, for the longest time, it felt like Ja thought the world was out to get him, you know?
Yep.
And now I think one of the things that happened this summer is he is starting to see that the world is actually lifting him up. You know, he's starting to appreciate that, oh, maybe I'm not the most hated person in the universe. Maybe that's maybe a billion people in China love me and other stars in the end. I think it's a more realistic appreciation of actually the world. And I think it shows some growth and maturity there. But, you know, Ja, to me, was, you know, not particularly compelling just because, again, the play is compelling. Let's see what happens in terms of his health.
Yeah.
And then the other guys, like, I hope Landale's good because he's a highly entertaining talker. You know, he's got a little of Stephen Adams in him.
Well, it's just the accent? Is that what you're going with?
No, it's funny. I told Jeffrey this. I was hiking one time day this summer, and we came across some people, and they started talking. And I said, oh, you're from Australia, aren't you? And the guy looked at me, said, New Zealand. And if you that's a terrible mistake to make because New Zealanders and Australians think hate each other. They don't really hate each other, but like there's a rivalry there, yeah. And they're not the same. And but us idiot Americans, we think Australia and New Zealand sound the same. So I don't think Landale probably sounds exactly like Stephen A, but to our untrained ears, kind of the same. Funny guy, too. 100%. Thoughtful guy. And, of course, just the way he talked about it. He said, the things I like to do are setting screens and rebounding and playing defense. And he is so enthusiastic about the opportunity because in Houston, he was absolutely stuck behind a really out of the rotation most of the time because of who happened to be in front of him. And so the door has opened wide for him to make a contribution. And I hope he's as good as he on the court as he was to the media yesterday.
Random question off of the Jock Landale conversation. You say he's got a sense of humor. Do you think it's just a natural sense of humor from that part of the world, New Zealand and Australia, or do you think it's just the accent that gets everybody to think that they have a sense of humor?
Are they intrinsic?
Because that's something I was debating with myself watching Jock Landale speak at the podium yesterday.
Well, I think we grade on a curve.
Okay, right.
And I think with some, whatever, we also think they're more charming or better, whatever. Like, I think we grade on a curve. But I do think that it's possible that there are cultures that value certain things, right? Mm-hmm. And it does strike me, and I spent a year in Australia after college, it does strike me that Australians really do value humor and being a good mate, and sort of that is part of it. And so I don't actually think that sensibility, and obviously we're painting with a wildly broad brush.
Yes, very broad. But hardcore generalizations. Gotta love it.
I think there is something to it. I think Australians, one of the things that Australians do is they go on long vacations, like really long vacations when they travel, partly because it's so far away to travel, but like they'll go to Europe for 6 weeks, for Americans. Well, I'm going to take 5 days off and I'm going to kick back and take 5 days off. But Australians, a real vacation doesn't even begin unless you're off for 2 months.
I don't know if this is a normal thing. I'm pretty sure it is, though. I was roommates with Nick Jacobs, the old Australian punter back in my University of Memphis days. I'm pretty sure they take a gap year after college, no matter what, to travel the world, which I think everybody should adopt that. I think that's a phenomenal plan. Go see the world so you're not you don't feel like you're missing out when you get into the workforce.
Like, as someone who went to college there, I went to college with a lot of people who did not. But I think it's common. I think it's common to do that. Traveling and getting out of Australia to go see the world is a common thing to do. And then if people who have backpacked across Europe, which I have not done, I'll always hear that they fall in with the Australians and the Australians are the nicest, whatever. Right. So, anyway, we hope, Jack, but the more important thing is hoping it set a good screen.
Yes, 100%. Now, on the John Morant thing, like if I'm putting what you said in layman's terms, it always felt like through the first part of his career and his missteps, he was having struggles coming to grips with the type of celebrity he was, right?
Right.
With how big he was. I think based on my sit-down conversation with him talking about that Asia tour, like I think that really brought it full circle to him. Like it's not just nationally that he's beloved. It's not just in the United States where people know John Morant. He went over to China and everybody was hounding around him. So I think that's the biggest realization he's had. Now obviously we'll see how it all plays out, but that's the realization that he's had is that I'm known everywhere. I'm a massive celebrity, and it feels like he's gotten used to it at least. I guess that's the way I'd put it.
I think that's right, but also when he was feeling besieged, right, and put upon and attacked and whatever, what was he really doing at the time? He was just on Twitter, that's where he was being attacked, right, by Warriors fans originally and then the whole world and whatever. And so if he didn't leave his house or if he was just, living in his little, cocoon world, you can feel online attacked perpetually because, you know, billions, like people are, in fact.
Right.
But then you get out in the world, which is what happened.
Yes.
And you see the reality is, doesn't look anything like what you see online. It's people who appreciate you and celebrate you and can't wait to see you or be near you or whatever else. And so I think that is, it's not just that he didn't appreciate how big he was before, although I think that was part of it, very clearly. It's that the overwhelming percentages of people who have any impression of Ja are good.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They love him. And I think that's the other part of it, is he's come to realize by being out that it's not just that he's big, it's that he's beloved.
I think that's kind of a cultural thing we're going through in general, just person to person as well. Get outside and touch grass every once in a while. You may like your neighbor. You may enjoy the person
that's 100%
that yells at you on Twitter if you actually meet them in the real world.
But they're also, here's the other thing, is they're much less apt to yell at you on Twitter. They're
very
not call you a joke or whatever, you know, or worse. Like in real life, IRL, they're going to, you know, treat you like a human being. And so I think that's partly it. Now, who knows what the year will bring. You know, the other thing that's, I think, true of Ja is, like, if you saw the ESPN future cast or future whatever, think recent stories recently were like, who's the greatest American player today? They were surveying various folks on ESPN. And who's going to be the greatest American player in 5 years? And I'll be honest, it was an incredibly uninspiring list. Like, it's just not an impressive list of players. And, well, okay, there's Anthony Edwards, but like Cooper Flagg immediately is right there. And like, is that as good as he will be? Is he really electric? Like, this is it. This is what we have. You know, Europe has Giannis and you know, you got the reigning MVP from Canada, and you got, you know, the best, maybe the best player in the world in Jokic. And here you've got, I mean, Anthony Edwards is good and interesting and whatever, but just clearly a different level of superstar. And so the opportunity is still there for Ja. He can be literally the most exciting player in the NBA. He can certainly be the most compelling American player in the NBA. And, you know, he doesn't have to play all 82, but if he played 70, I like his odds.
All right. Now, Tiger basketball got their practices going this week. They started training camp. But I did see this from Parth Upadhyay, who was you know, he took in the episode of the Sideline podcast that Andy Katz did with P.J. Haggerty, who's now at Kansas State after being an All-American at the University of Memphis. And within the conversation, it was basically asked, or P.J. spoke to, why he made the decision to transfer to Kansas State. And I just want to know if you buy his explanation or not. The explanation was, my decision was more so about just – my decision was more so about just the fit and how they wanted to use me. And listen, I'm sure that was just sort of a planned answer, but okay, let's talk about fit and how they wanted to use you. You played 37 minutes per game at Memphis. You averaged 21.7 points per game. You were an All-American. You were all AAC. You were the AAC Player of the Year. Like, I just saw that explanation, and I it just left a lot to be desired, and I don't believe him.
It's just stupid, honestly. Like it won't hopefully work out as disastrously for him as Nico's explanation for leaving Tennessee. But like that is the same. Like Nico said, well, it was really about the offense. No, it was not. You know what happened was there were negotiations. And in P.J. Haggerty's case, there were negotiations, and Memphis didn't want to meet that number and then ultimately moved on. And so then he found another place that would give him money. Like, literally nothing to do with fit. Now, one of the arguments that he makes in this piece a little bit is, I guess the implication is, I'll be able to play on ball exclusively and be a point guard. Well, hey, he's never going to be that because he is not that. Right? Like,
right.
He's not. And so that's silly.
And even when he was clamoring for that as one of his sticking points to where he was going to end up landing after Memphis, like my thought ultimately is, even if someone's promising you that, if you don't immediately come out of the gate as one of the best point guards in the country, they're going to use you as they see fit. They're there to win games. And if you're making $2 million per year, you're there to win games. So they're going to use you in the best possible scenario for yourself. They're not going to force a square peg into a round hole. But I don't even think, I still don't think.
But, honestly, Ted,
but to your point,
the
point you're making, I agree with. I don't think he'll ever really be the main on-ball point guard setting up for his team. He's a scorer at heart. That's what he is.
No, I mean, even if he had the ball in his hands a lot, it was just go do you. That's what it was.
Right.
It wasn't like set up,
yes.
your teammates, because that's not what his skill set is. So, I mean, in the end, the truth of the matter is P.J. Hegarty is an incredibly effective college basketball player, an incredibly effective college basketball player who had a great year at Memphis and helped this city enjoy a lot of great wins. He has never been a particularly eloquent guy on in a podcast or an interview setting. That's just not what he does. It's just not. And so I don't know if this was a planned answer or whatever. If he was going to come up with a planned answer, he probably should have come up with a better answer, because this was totally unbelievable. Like, it's just not. If he wanted to say, I wanted to experience a different conference, he could have said that.
Instead
of
it being a planned answer, it was more like the answer that he feels like people would want to hear.
But, yeah, honestly, if he had said, I did what – I really feel like I accomplished everything I could at Memphis. I got a lot from Penny Hardaway, right? And he helped me a lot, and now I'm ready for a fresh challenge against different opponents.
Wow!
And let's be honest, we play a tougher schedule here. You know, a tougher conference schedule here. I want to prove myself again on a different stage. I actually that was still been a lie, because it's really about money, but it would have been more believable, right? A more credible lie. And so
that
was just silly.
A PR professional, Jeff Calkins. That would have been a great answer. My gosh. You ever think about advising these kids and how they should answer? Teach a class?
It's also easy to think of this stuff later.
Right.
But you knew that Andy Katz was going to ask that question. So that's one you could have planned in advance. I'm probably better could give a better press conference than P.J. Hegarty, but he's a much better basketball player than I am, in fairness.
I think so.
I got to give him that.
I think so. I've never seen you play basketball.
Man,
did you ever do that?
Right. I was a pretty good C-League player at Harvard Law School. Len Elmore was one of the – do you remember Len Elmore?
Remember is probably the wrong word. I've heard.
Okay, well, Len Elmore was in my law school class. And he would occasionally come and dominate. My best friend in law school played basketball for Marquette. Was a basically big white rebounding dude, drafted by the Knicks, though, really good player. And so probably that was the highlight, when I would play pick up ball with him at Hemingway Gymnasium. But it's been a long time.
All right, now I haven't gotten your opinion on this, Penny Hardaway. And listen. We haven't seen this team play. We'll see him play at exhibitions here before too long. But he said this is the second most talented team he's ever had. He's got a lot of hope in what he can accomplish with the team that he has on paper. All new guys, transfer portal guys, late additions. Tarik Ingram basically was added to the roster last week. He was signed. It's hard for me to ask, do you take him at face value? Do you believe him? But what'd you think of him making that proclamation going into training camp?
Penny is such a joy as a talker, because he always says interesting things. He doesn't care. He's not trying to guard or always think about, he not only answered this question about his team, he expressed that it's my second most talented team.
Who
don't do that. They're like, who's your first? Well, the first one was the best one with Jalen Duren. And then I guess it's great. No coach does that, Well, every team's different, they say, or whatever. Instead, somebody says, I've thought about this. It's my second most talented team behind the Jalen Duren team. I just love it. I just love He is interesting every time he talks. Do I take it? I'm glad he's enthusiastic about the team because we haven't seen it, and you'd hate for him to be mopey about the team. It's hard to believe this is the second most talented team, but we haven't seen anything about this team, and so good. I'm glad he's optimistic. Of course, Penny tends to always be optimistic.
Yes.
If you ask him if a player is going to be eligible, he says, yeah, we think we're going to be eligible. You know, we think we're going to next extra year for, you know, you name it. And so, and it never seems to work out that way. So he is optimistic to a fault. And so, I don't like put any great stock into it, but it's, I was still glad to hear it. Like any morsel of good news and whatever about this fairly unknown team, I think is good to hear. And I actually think this thing that they're doing for Balling All Beal,
yeah,
instead of Memphis Madness, they're doing this Balling All Beal. I think that's kind of fun. You know, rather than just having a lesser version of what we've had before, to have something different on Beale Street, I think that's a good thing. So, I enjoyed Penny's comment and gave me something to talk about for 10 minutes on my radio show.
Yeah, and takeaways real quick before I let you roll from the 55-26 win Tigers handed FAU on the road. It was closer than that until the very end, and then the Tigers put up 31 points in the fourth quarter. But Ryan seems to be winning with a little bit of I don't know. He's trying to run away from these teams, at least at the very end. But all these FBS games have played out just about the same, right? First half struggle, second half take off, run game shows through. They're able to break some big run plays by the end of the game, you know, and they cover.
They can run the ball. I mean, when you've got Sutton Smith doing what he did against Arkansas and then DeRozier doing what he did, in this game, that's a pretty impressive 1-2 punch. They continue to be able to run the ball incredibly effectively. But what actually struck me was when push came to shove and things were a little tight, they hit a couple of big passes there in a way that encouraged me. Like right after the strip sack came back and because to me, I think as good as the run game is, it sort of established the floor for this team. I think the ceiling still is maybe how are they going to be when they have to, you know, when they have to throw it. And Braham's been terrific. And so I don't know, like that was one of my watching it unfold in the second half. I'm like, huh, okay. How are they going to respond here? What they responded with was a couple of deep balls in an impressive way.
Yeah. But also here's a part of their identity. They will give up yards to the other team.
They do.
As far as through the air, not running, but through the air, but they hope they can be opportunistic, and they have been more often than not, so we'll see how it plays out. But they seem to be rolling, 5-0, five covers. But, Jeff, I appreciate it. Thanks for joining.
Sure thing. See you again.
He is Jeff Calkins, at Jeff_Calkins on X, Daily Memphian columnist, also host of The Jeff Calkins Show, 9 to 11, every single weekday right here, 92.9 FM ESPN. George, I need to bring you in for a second on a little bit of Tiger football, because I was thinking about this last night. The running back conversation and the skill player conversation that has always been sort of apparent in the golden era since 2014 here at the University of Memphis. The running back run from 2016 to 2019, Daryl Henderson, Patrick Taylor, Kenny Gainwell, Antonio Gibson, Tony Pollard, it was unbelievable. And this year, I don't know if these guys are going to be in the NFL. I'm sure they'll get an opportunity. They seem tremendously talented, but it feels like they've done it again in regards to being able to find some running backs that can give them explosive plays on the ground and really lift their ceiling up. Greg DeRozier Jr. has done it at a high level. Sutton Smith has done it at a high level. But I do look at it. It's a little different than it was back then. Both these guys are kind of the same player, aren't they? Like when you just visibly watch them, they're both guys that can catch balls out of the backfield. And guys that run off tackle, not necessarily between the tackles at the highest of levels, even though Greg DeRozier broke off that 90-yard run between the tackles. But the point I'm making is it's different than it was in the past. Daryl Henderson was sort of your lightning to Patrick Taylor Jr.'s thunder. You could find a way to get both those guys on the field in situations that really were beneficial to them. I find it kind of interesting the way they're using these back. They're just sort of riding with the hot hand game to game. Sutton Smith runs for 150 against Arkansas. He's the hot hand. Greg barely gets any run. Greg starts the game and is the hot hand during that FAU game. He has 19 carries for 204 yards, and here's Sutton with 7 carries, barely played the entire game. It's been an interesting dynamic to watch. I want to see them manage it a little better, though, as the season goes along. Try to get both those guys more involved because they are your two, and Cortez Bram showed up as well. But I would say those are your two most dynamic playmakers on your offense, bar none. Like, that's how I feel.
Very easily. 100% those two guys are the most dynamic players in the offense.
Yes.
100%.
And it's I get where it's kind of complicated with their skill sets not being different.
Sure.
They're very similar to get them on the field at the same time. But you would think as an offense, Tim Kramsey, Ryan, you would think as a game planner, you would try to find ways to use both of them in any given game in a similar fashion. And I don't know what that looks like. It's kind of tough for me.
There's, like you said, they're both good receivers out of the backfield. You could even split one out. You could have both in the game at the same time on the field, have one run a route, have the other one, and essentially run the option. At the same time, though, when we're looking at a lot of these games, and a lot of them, the bigger games coming up and being really kind of tightly packed together, mainly that being USF and Tulane being within weeks of each other, I don't necessarily dislike the way that they've been doing it.
Sure.
In the thought process of, okay, well, if we've noticed it goes back and forth, right, it seems to keep the other one fresh. And putting excess mileage on your better skill position players isn't necessarily something you want to do when your aspirations are, we're going to be playing some extra football
sure.
at the end of this season. So if you can maintain that, and like you said, they play very similar style, they have a similar frame, you know, that's their game. They play a similar style of football
right.
from the position. So yes, it does get tougher to have them both out there at the same time when, okay, maybe if you have one split out, you don't have a tight end out there who can help with blocking or something like that. You know, just trying to put myself in their shoes and think the way that they would probably be thinking.
One thing I do remember from 2019, the Cotton Bowl year, is Mike Norvell would constantly come out with Kenny Gainwell and Antonio Gibson as sort of a two-back set, and he'd have them right on the outsides there of Brady White.
I feel
like you could come up with some dynamic concepts, RPO, triple option, or otherwise, with those two running backs and Brendan Lewis in the middle of them. There's some dynamic looks you could give to a defense that could really bother people.
If you're sitting there telling me you don't think that could be kind of fun, you could even...
That would be fun as hell.
If this was an even more, you know, passing offense, two guys on the interior, little slot guys, just some hooks, double wheel.
Come on.
Because you know those guys can burn a DB.
For sure, no doubt. Now, college football is here, and it's been rolling along for some time now. We're into week number 6. And just as always in the South, we are excited. We have anticipation for every single matchup for our favorite team. And there's simply no better place to catch that game, college football in general, than Caesars Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. You walk in, the energy's going to hit you right in the face. 20 HD TVs. They can tune those TVs wherever your heart desires. Whatever game that you have bet on, whichever one you want on, they will tune it in there for you. And you'll have some friends in there because the other fans in there who have bets down are going to be locked in. And the seating in there, got to experience it. I've gotten to experience it, you know, back around the NCAA tournament and last weekend. Phenomenal. Better than what you have in your living because it's better than what I have in my living room. I hate to admit it. But whether you're all in on your favorite team and just love the thrill of big matchups, in college football, it's the spot to catch every play, every score, every win. You grab a seat, you're going to catch a game, you're going to place an order from their game day menu. They have the nachos and the hot dogs, but you can also order from Guy Fieri's restaurant and get that gourmet food delivered directly to you. It's game day done right, folks. Whoever you're rooting for, watch a game confidence style at Caesar Sportsbook inside Horseshoe Tunica. They have full-service sports betting experience. They have in-game wagering, staff betting windows, 10 self-betting kiosks, so you're going to be able to lock in whatever bet that you choose. And coming up this Saturday, we'll have another trivia event hosted by the man, the myth, the legend himself, Kevin Cerrito. That'll be on Saturday from 12 to 3. Every hour, 15 past the hour, we will have it going. 12:15, 1:15, 2:15, and you have a chance to win $92 in free play, $50 in a gift certificate to go to Guy Fieri's restaurant. So make sure you come and join us this Saturday for trivia. But you must be 21 or older to gamble. Know when to stop before you start. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Now we need to take a trip around the National Football League. We'll go ahead and do that next. Let's take a trip around the National Football League. George, hit it. All right. Sorry. We do have a Jets fan, and so I'm going to try to, you know, let him down easy. But I do have a really depressing stat.
Which one?
It's about Justin Fields. Oh. Justin Fields has led his teams, and I shouldn't say led his teams, but he has led his teams to an 0-25 record when opponents score at least 21 points in his career. He's the only winless quarterback out of 46 quarterbacks in this sample over the last 5 years with at least 10 starts made. And, of course, Dolphins scored 27 last night. So, if you're a defense that is trying to uplift Justin Fields, don't let another team score 21 points. Right? Seems like a pretty easy stat to follow. Don't know if the Jets can do that the rest of the year, but we'll see. You have nothing to say. You're like,
I don't
want to approach that stat. All right. Now, over the weekend, the Jags beat the 49ers 26-21. They're off to a decent start this year with their new head coach, Liam Cohen. Now, during the week, Robert Saleh, the DC, former Jets coach, DC for the 49ers, coming back to Kyle Shanahan, he accused Liam Cohen of sign-stealing during the week.
This is so good.
They got into a spat after the game because Liam Cohen decided to talk some trash. To go after Robert Saleh for his comments during the week. Just, it's going to be kind of hard to hear, but take a listen to what the mics picked up from this spat. Okay. Well taken, Robert. I'm not messing with Robert Saleh. I've seen him too much. He's swole, first of all. Former football player, he's swole, football coach, and if you watched him with the Jets, he would just run up and down MetLife before the game. NFL stadium. Just wouldn't stop until about an hour before the game. Then he went in, got ready to go. But if you didn't hear that, that was Liam Cohen, the head coach of the Jags, going after Robert Saleh. Liam Cohen said, keep my name out your mouth. And then Robert Saleh responded by saying, I will F your world up. I will effing end your life. No, effing end your effing life. That's what he had to say. Robert Saleh, listen, Liam, I know you were mad at him. Just don't pick the fight with the guy. Because I believed with every ounce of my being he meant those words. That's the problem with Robert Saleh. He said that with his whole chest.
Oh, yeah. Like, and there are very few of these coaches that, you know, a good handful of them, you're like, it's just a dude.
I can beat him in a fight. Yeah.
There's a select few. No.
Robert Saleh is probably the bottom.
He is one of them.
Him and Dan Campbell. I'll
put Vrabes in there.
Vrabes too. Don't want beef with
no
those
smoke.
Guys. I really don't.
I'm okay. Yes. I'm all good.
I'm a little smarter than that. Liam, be careful. Be careful because
take it easy, buddy.
He like Robert Saleh, if you listen to that and go look at his mannerisms while he's being held back, he was serious.
Oh, that
about every word he said.
Hands is what we're about to have.
Yes, 100%. All right, now Malik Nabers tore his ACL. And you know about this, MetLife, they got to do something, man.
Great.
It's beyond
time.
Come
on, man.
Malik Nabers tore his ACL in MetLife. Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles in 2023. In 2022, they had 5 ACL tears, including Sterling Shepard, Wandale Robinson, and Kyle Fuller. In 2021, they had 6 tears. 7 tears! ACL or patellar tendon. And, you know, Jabril Peppers, Blake Martinez were a part of that, both starters for the Giants at that time. 2020, Nick Bosa tore his ACL. I know he just tore his ACL again this year, but tore his ACL for the first time on that MetLife turf. It's just gone too far. Do something. Do something about it. That's all I'll ask. Oh, gosh. Tyreek Hill in his knee. I have an updated sort of story here. He dislocated his knee, but he tore his ACL at the very least. There's other ligament damage in there, although his agents did say he will be back in 2026. That will not be at the start of the season, though, I'm telling you right now. I saw that injury. I saw how it took, you know.
Yeah.
I saw what happened. They had to put an air cast on it. That's going to be a long rehab for Tyreek Hill.
And for what it's worth, who is his agent?
Rosenhaus.
What is Rosenhaus very well known for?
Telling his own story.
Telling his story. So he might be back in 2026, but we'll see on when.
Yeah, we shall. Lamar Jackson has a hamstring injury, and he's unlikely to play week 5. He could miss 2 to 3 weeks. Not good for the Ravens, who sit there at 1-3 and just got their brains beat in by the Kansas City Chiefs. So I hate to do this, but everybody's doing it today, so I guess I'll just join in on the fun. Shedeur Sanders, we learned a couple of weeks ago, he didn't want the Ravens to draft him because he didn't want to be a backup. This would be a good time to be a backup for Lamar Jackson. You would have got your opportunity, right?
Yep. Who is their backup by chance?
Oh, gosh. Snoop's not back there.
No.
Cooper Rush. Hey, calm down. Coop ain't that bad.
Tyler Huntley was a Pro Bowler. Don't give me that.
I made my Russell Wilson argument. It's funny you bring this up. I made my Russell Wilson argument about how he's a no doubt Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
He's not going to be first ballot or anything.
No.
But he'll be in eventually.
Sure.
And the amount of tweets I got from people and direct messages saying, Pro Bowls don't count. Tyler Huntley was a Pro Bowler. I'm like, come on. Come on. You know, give me a break here. 10 Pro Bowls is a lot of Pro Bowls.
That is. Like, okay, one is an off, whatever. Sure.
And Russell was never an alternate.
No, maybe, he was a starter.
Maybe last year with the, because he was a Pro Bowler last year.
Okay, it's that. 9.
He might have been an alternate.
It's 9.
Yeah.
That's
nasty. But the other 9, I think he was probably, at the top of the list. All right, small talk is on the way. Make sure you stick around for that.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Now, I briefly mentioned it. Jeff briefly mentioned it when we talked to him at the top of the hour. But Memphis Madness is coming to Beale Street. How about that? Men's and women's teams will be gracing us with their presence down on Beale for the hype train for the season to get us ready to go. I like that. I like that. And I think it's nice because I don't know about you, George. I talk to way too many people that never go downtown, never go to Beale Street, and talk about how unsafe it is. And it frustrates the hell out of me because I'm a frequenter. I go down there constantly. Heck, I was down in that area yesterday for Grizz Media Day, and I know it's not much going down, but I've been there at midnight, 11 p.m. I've never once had an issue with any event, going out to a bar, going to a game, down on Beale Street.
Emphasis on that part, the going to the game part. How many games do I work a year?
Yes,
like a good chunk, right. Like most weeks, if yes. There are games going on, I'm working it. And
you would be the most likely to have a break in to your car or whatever.
And
never
thing
an
is,
issue.
I don't think people have, like, we talk about the media a lot.
Listen,
dude, it's just a gate.
I don't want
if
to.
If people want to do bad things.
I don't want to kill people's, like, just how they think and how they feel. If you feel a certain way, you feel a certain way. I can't really change that. But it's always the people that don't go that talk about how unsafe it is. When I frequent there, Connor frequents there, you frequent there, never have had an issue. I've had issues everywhere else in town. Not everywhere else in town. I've had issues at other parts of town. But I'm telling you, Beale Street and FedEx Forum, just I've never had any run-ins or any problems. Truthfully, I mean that.
Now, for what it's worth.
It's me. This is my personal experience, and I'm not going to discredit other people's personal experience.
No, of course, of course. I'm also looking at it from the standpoint of we are talking about most of the time areas around the FedEx Forum for events at
sure.
the Forum, things like that. There is increased police presence
yes,
there.
Sure.
Like, yes, that's going to help things.
Yes.
Right? But, and I'm sure that's not every time. Like, I've gone out plenty of times downtown other than for games. And same thing, my experience. It's been good. It's been fine.
Yeah.
No issues.
Yeah. Also, NBA news. The summer-long stalemate has ended between Jonathan Kuminga and the Warriors. 2 years, $48.5 million is what he will return to the Golden State Warriors on. And he'll have a team
cool.
option to sign contract, and he could renegotiate next summer.
Good for him.
$24 million a year, and they probably won't use him. So I don't know what to
think. Backup quarterback.
The Jonathan Kuminga Warriors thing is so strange to me.
It's very weird.
Because he's productive. They just don't use him right. That's how I feel. And they don't value young players. All right, let's grab a break. Hour number three is on the way. Make sure you stick around.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off primetime deals and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck.
Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
True North convenience stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.